Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C. This is Agriculture Today.
Federal assistance must support agriculture producers facing market losses, and it needs to happen quickly.
Ranking member and soon-to-be chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman.
Producers need an efficient mechanism to provide 2024 economic assistance and certainty for 2025 through an improved farm safety net. It's an understanding that's gaining support on both sides of the Capitol. In our Appropriations Committee hearing last month, Senator Hyde Smith called for robust and swift delivery of emergency assistance to agriculture producers because of adverse market conditions. I appreciate the leadership of House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson and Congressman Trent Kelly for recognizing the urgent need and proposing a solution.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Our net farm income declined $6 billion. Cash receipts are falling, projected to fall $25 billion instead of nearly $28 billion. And on the animal products side, the forecast is for income change to be $21 billion, where in September we were forecasting nearly $18
billion. Spiro Stefanow is administrator, USDA's Economic Research Service.
Farm sector liquidity is expected to worsen marginally in 2024. Say if we look at the bankruptcy rate, that's increased slightly to 1 per 10,000 farms, which is still a relatively low rate. If we look at the debt service ratio, which is describing the share of production used to pay for debt expenses, that has also increased marginally, but still at a fairly manageable 0.25%.
But what is current sentiment for producers? Dr. Jim Mentert is director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue.
So the Ag Country Barometer Index rose 30 points to a reading of 145 this month. That was the highest reading for the barometer since May of 2021. The index of current conditions and the index of future expectations both rose this month. The current condition index was up 18 points compared to last month, and to push the index back above 100 for only the second time since March of this year. The future expectation index was up 37 points compared to last month, and that was the highest reading for that index since April of 2021. The Farm Financial Performance Index rose again in November, up 16 points compared to October, and that leaves that index 38 points higher than it was at its low point back in September. The Farm Capital Investment Index also rose. It was up 13 points this month compared to both October and a year ago. And this month's increase bumped the index out of the trading range that it's been in since late 2021, and that trading range has been in a range of 30 to about 50. The short-term farmland value expectation index declined 5 points this month. However, that followed a 25-point increase from September to October, so that index is still relatively strong at a reading of 115. The November Ag Economy Barometer Survey included 4 questions that focused on possible changes from October to November of this year, and also compared those results to November of 2020. Producers in this month's survey had a big swing in their attitudes regarding environmental regulations impacting agriculture, with over half of the producers in this month's survey saying they expect to see less restrictive environmental regulations for agriculture. We also asked about income tax rates, and income tax rate expectations changed very little from October to November, but far fewer respondents in November of this year said they expect higher tax rates than felt that way back in November of 2020 following the 2020 election. We also asked about estate taxes, and compared to November 2020, far fewer producers said they expect tax rates to rise over the course of the next 5 years. And finally, we asked about the risk of a trade war that could result in a significant decrease in U.S. ag exports. And producers are concerned about the possibility of a trade war taking place. 42% of respondents in this month's survey said they think a trade war is either likely or very likely, while just 26% of respondents think a trade war is either unlikely or very unlikely.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
What I need to do is go to meetings with smart people, right? And figure out how to bring that back to our farmers and do it in a way that is cost effective and increase productivity for them.
Speaking at a recent Midwest Agriculture Conference hosted by the Chicago Federal Reserve, Matt Karstens, President and CEO of Landus.
When we were meeting with DefenseWorks the first time, another one of the regional co-ops was having their big meeting of the winter, right? They go to somewhere warm. DefenseWorks is in Tampa, so I wasn't sacrificing a lot. But we're there meeting with them while everyone else is out boondoggling, talking about how one company did last year. You know, that's ag. And I say that in all transparency. I'm a part of the problem, but I also need to be a part of the solution. We've got to think different. We've got to use the hard work that's been done in other industries like space, like military, like government, that we can bring in and solve problems. When Vilsack toured our facility and goes, I'm going to connect you with NASA. I go, I'm a team. He won't. Just that was nice. Thank you. Right. He did. He absolutely did. Government helped us get to the point where today we can scout fields from satellite it's 10 feet above the Earth's surface. I mean, it is a really crisp image. Now, once they release it from the military, and that's leverage that we have right now and are talking to the Department of Defense, we can get within inches of the soil, right? But that's saved for the military today. We're like, trust me, we're not going to do anything wrong with this. We're just trying to identify a weed, a pest, right? But this is where great people getting together can solve it in a way that helps farming, helps agriculture solve these challenges in the future.
He also talked about changing how farmers buy.
We just launched a program 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that you pay us a set number. We guarantee clean weeds. We have a yield guarantee that is insured for our farmers. I don't know how we did all of it. Again, we got smarter people than me. But it's a total package where that farmer never has to look at that field, touch it. The yield's protected with this insurance policy. It's absolutely amazing. And our farmers, you know, they're kind of like, yeah, we said we wanted it. We never thought this would happen. You know, so we've caught them a little bit flat-footed. So, yes, I want to say to your first part of your question, the ag distribution channel to the farmer, as I've already highlighted, has got to change. You can't have that many steps, that many people with their hand out, and have a business model as an industry that makes any sense at all. We're protecting a bunch of buddies, and, you know, I'll leave it at that, and that has got to die. That's where a conduit, and even this level that we're doing with Landus, taking all the guesswork out, let synthesis do its thing. It's the next evolution of this. Today, we have it insured because we don't have synthesis at its full capacity. But, you know, there's insurance companies willing to do this in the day of derechos and that. Like, this is awesome. So I think it, yes, is that answer. And there's some of it even happening for a first time right now as we speak. How long it'll take for agriculture to move this through depends on the market share growth that's taken. Because ag is a great follower, right? I mean, you take share, they'll react. Until then, the world's perfect. Just ask us, right? Even though it's not, we're going to play that card. So things like that are happening, and I think this is just the beginning. As you look at what could be coming with sustainability and different dollars back to farmers, growing that, I don't know what the new administration change will do to that, but based on the path we're on, I think there's huge opportunities for things like you're talking about, and it has to happen soon because change is needed for these farmers to compete long term.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
You know, a lot of people say, we love Trump's policy, but we would like to have another messenger because we don't like him. He's a little bit crass.
At a pre-election event at the Economic Club of Chicago, President-elect Donald Trump.
Actually, it was Lindsey Graham, I must say. He was a progressive, in all fairness. But Lindsey Graham said, but Trump's policy doesn't work without Trump. And there's a lot of truth to that. Macron was going to, nice guy, Emmanuel. He's a wise guy, but he's for France and we're for the USA. You know this story. He was going to tax American companies doing business in France, a very substantial tax. And I told my people, I didn't even like the companies, but I'm representing American companies. And this guy, so I said, call Macron and call his people and say, we're not going to stand for that. So I said to Mnuchin, call him up and say, no way. He did, and he came back to see me. He said, they won't do it, sir. It's too late. I said to somebody else, you call me. Then I said, let me do it. And I called him. And I said, Emmanuel, you're taxing American companies very substantially. You're not doing it with other companies. You must think we're stupid. It's not going to happen. But Donald, I cannot do anything. It's too late. Or it was approved by a legislature. I said, that's okay. Here's the story. Every bottle of wine and champagne that you send into the United States, effective immediately, and I'm signing it as I speak, I'm charging you 100% on every bottle of wine and champagne. You know, they like the wine and champagne, right? Every bottle of wine and champagne that comes into the United States of America has a tax on, starting on Monday morning, this was a Friday, of 100%. And that's better than you're doing, okay? And he said, no, you cannot do that. I said, I've done it. It's already signed. Monday morning, goes, may I call you back? Yes, he calls me back in about 3 minutes. We have decided to remove the tax from the companies. I did this all day long.
And what about companies leaving the U.S.?
John Deere, great company. They announced about a year ago they're going to build big plants outside of the United States, right? They're going to build them in Mexico.
And you threatened
they're also going to build.
They stopped.
That's right. I said, if John Deere builds those plants and not selling anything into the United States, they just announced yesterday they're probably not going to build the plants, okay? I kept the jobs here, and I'll keep the John Deere will stay here. And I'll tell John Deere, if you do build outside of the United States, you can if you want.
But he's clear to point out there can be exceptions.
We have a very talented group of people. Bob Lighthizer did a very good job. We had great people. We had central casting. These are a large group of people. We made exceptions. In the case of Apple, they needed an exception. You know why? Because of Samsung. He came to me and he said, Samsung makes a product similar to ours, very good product, the phones and other things. And because they're in South Korea, they don't have the tariffs. Because we're in China, we have the tariffs. I said, you happen to be right. You're not going to be able to compete. I said, look, I'm going to give you a one-year break, but I want you to start building your factories in this country, whether it's Texas or any other place, anywhere in the country. And he said, what does that mean? I said, you have everything in China. I want you to move it from China back to our country. And he started doing that. And he built a factory, a big one in Texas. He built another one. And this was all a process. It was all happening. But I did give him an exception, and the reason was, he said, as soon as he said Samsung, I said, how is that product compared to yours? He said, it's a good product. I said, then you really can't compete. You can't have a 25 or 50% tariff and compete, right? Yeah. And I said, I'm giving you an exception. And I did it for many companies. We had some
of small,
but the ultimate
small businesses come and say,
I know, but
that was the question.
But we do it for small businesses too.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The difference between the September versus the December releases show that our net farm income declined $6 billion for the December release compared to $6.5 billion, so not as drastic a drop.
Barrow Stefanou is administrator of USDA's Economic Research Service. With more, here's Chad Smith.
Revised estimates in the 2024 farm income forecast still show agriculture taking a big financial hit this year. Danny Munch, an economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the slight adjustment still indicates farmers are struggling.
In September, net farm income was expected to decline 4.4% to $140 billion across the farm economy. And in today's update, the revision narrowed it slightly to a 4.1% decline, slightly higher to $140.7 billion for the year. It's not that big of an increase, but still reflects a significant drop from 2022. So even though there's not a lot of change between September and December, it still sort of demonstrates that agriculture is in the red this year, 2024.
Munch says some sectors of the agricultural economy are faring better than others.
There was slight upward adjustments for many of the livestock sectors, particularly cattle and eggs. Those were adjusted upward. Some of your biggest crop sectors still take the biggest hit. Corn and soybeans anticipated down. Production expenses actually were adjusted down as well. So farmers expect to pay less in production expenses. The December report expects production expenses to fall by $8 billion in 2024.
Difficult economic conditions combined with natural disasters make preparing for 2025 more difficult.
Government payments in the report continue to be down 12.3% from last year. A lot of that is linked to lower ad hoc disaster payments. We know a lot of farmers are still dealing with natural disasters from hurricanes and limited congressional action, as well as outdated programs in the Farm Bill. So this report really puts into high gear the importance for Congress to come together and help farmers through those natural disasters.
The cost of farm labor is yet another rising supply cost for farmers and ranchers, particularly for farm workers hired through the H-2A visa program. Samantha Ayoub, an economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the recently released Farm Labor Survey gives us a snapshot of labor costs across the country.
The November Farm Labor Survey release told us that combined field and livestock worker wages were $18.12 nationally, up 3.2% from the 2023 release. However, no one realistically pays the national wage, so regionally there was an average of about a 4.5% increase in regional wages.
Ayoub says wage rates differed dramatically across the country.
There was actually a decrease in the Lake region, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, down 2% to $18.15. But then we have places like the Southeast, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, with nearly 10% increases. California is finally not the highest paying state in the country. They've been surpassed by Hawaii at $20.08, up 7.2% from 2023.
This report will be used to calculate the adverse effect wage rate for 2025.
The Farm Labor Survey's combined field and livestock worker wage becomes the adverse effect wage rate that DOL uses for six different standard occupation codes, and that's going to comprise 96% of H-2A workers. In December, they will post the adverse effect wage rate, which is in essence copy and pasted from the Farm Labor Survey, and that will become the field and farm worker wage for H-2A workers. It's also going to vary across the country as to when you have to start paying that wage because of the injunction on the worker protection rule.
And you can learn more at fb.org/market intel. Chad Smith, Washington.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
You know, this one has done successfully. His kids are all in it. They actually homeschooled them. I don't think they would mind me sharing with them. And they are all 18 years or less. The last one's just finishing up school and will be joining the farm.
Matt Karstens is president and CEO of Landus, speaking at the Chicago Federal Reserve's Midwest Ag Conference on family farms.
That's how they did it. Right. I mean, it's their farm. It's that one family. It's not like our family farm is multiple families with the same last name. Theirs is one family, one name. And what will happen with their kids when they have other, you know, I don't know. It's a challenge without a doubt. I think there's been a lot of good progress with insurance policies and that made on transitioning family farms, like is what our family operation is doing. So insurance makes it possible. There's a lot of complexities to that. But there's getting to be better ways and more known ways to do it. So I don't think the family farm's dead by any means. But, you know, also a big land buyer in Iowa is called the Delta Group. Look that up. That's one individual in the Delta that's buying a lot of land. I never met the man. I don't have any issue with it. But to your question, how do we feel about it? I don't know. You know, this is all I'm giving you data that's no more than 3 years old. Right. And this is happening right in front of us. So to the tension that we all have, we need answers on this. And I share, you know, I will slam my fist down and in this topic spirit of we should have answers to this instead of vague shades of gray of what I see, what you see, what you see. That's just not right. And we deserve better. The agriculture sector deserves better.
He says part of the challenge is the competition for land.
Look at what Iowa, I'm just going to pick on Iowa here, Iowa farmland. You know, what are we at? 12, 13,000 an acre, and some of the land's going for $22,000 to $28,000 an acre. How do you transition that? I mean, that's real cash. Like, no bank's going to take that risk. So you end up with these big pocketbooks, whether it's other countries, other buyers. You know, I get it. Our role is, and what I'm telling you, I guess to be really transparent with you, what we're doing is we're finding a way to connect our farmers to those buyers. Because I don't have a solution for the transition, although there are some. So you look at the massive movement of an Iowa, an Illinois, an eastern Nebraska, northern Missouri, southern Minnesota, and on. How do you transition that when farmland's what it is? When the ups and downs of a market, where you've got China, who used to buy our biggest buyer by a mile, exiting the market. These are real challenges. So I love talking about tech as a positive, like, and there's a path there. But these are other things that literally keep me up at night. And I don't normally talk about them unless I'm with David and he gets it out of me, because there isn't an answer. And it is frustrating. I've got my own family farm. It's got a transition and I'm not going back to it. So now it's down to my cousins. How are we going to do that? How do they compete with, in our neighborhood, anybody heard the name Harry Stein, the richest guy in Iowa, well-known big seed dealer, Stein Seed? He buys land in ours. When he shows up, they just turn around and walk away. Unless you want to drive price up for him and make him mad, right? And I have nothing wrong with Harry Stein. He's a great human being. That's who we compete with to buy land. There's a day in the life of the farmer. And this is, I'm just giving you my examples. This happens on every corner of our country in agriculture. And, how this ties to the feds, I don't know, David. You can wrap this up and make it work for us. But it's a great point. All of them are great points. And these are strong challenges that are very, very gray to me at best.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We have a man who I didn't know, but he came to me. He was at a meeting, and he built kitchen cabinets.
At a pre-election event at the Economic Club of Chicago, President-elect Donald Trump on small business and tariffs.
And he was, pretty big in the business. That's all he did is build kitchen cabinets. He said, "Sir, China and South Korea are building kitchen cabinets for one-third of what I can make them." I said, "What's the quality?" "They're not as good, but they're good enough. I can't compete. I'm going out of business. I have 2,000 people that work for me. I'm going out of business." I put a 25% tariff still on kitchen cabinets. I saw the guy two, three days ago. He said, "I'm the man that saw you about kitchen cabinets. You saved my company when you did the tariff, and you saved thousands of jobs. And my company is now doing very well." And he started to cry. And this guy hasn't cried too much, I will tell you. He said, "You saved my company. There's nobody that could have done that."
He says we focus a lot on China, but we also need to remember there are others, like India.
India is a very tough country. It's not only China. China is the, I would say, probably the toughest, but there are a lot of tough. You know what's very tough? European Union. Our beautiful European countries, wonderful, wonderful. If you add them up, they're almost the size of us. They treat us so badly. We have a deficit. I said to Angela Merkel when she was there, she's not there anymore, I wonder why, but when she was there, I said, "Angela, how many Chevrolets do we have in Berlin?" "Why, Donald, you have none." I said, "That's right. How many Fords do we have in Frankfurt?" "I don't know, none." I said, "That's right. You know how many cars we have? Mercedes-Benz and BMW and all of the different Volkswagen. Millions and millions of cars." And then I said, "Farm products. They don't want our farm. They don't want anything from us. We have deficits that are crazy. And we're not going to have them anymore. We're going to put tariffs on them. And they're going to do, and you know what they can do? The Mercedes-Benz will start building in the United States. And they have a little bit. But you know what they really are? Assembly, like in South Carolina. But they build everything in Germany, and then they assemble it here. They get away with murder because they say, oh, yes, we're building cars. They don't build cars. They take them out of a box and they assemble them. We could have our child do it. The tariff, you make it so high, so horrible, so obnoxious that they'll come right away. When I do the 10%, 10% is really, first of all, 10% when you collect it is hundreds of billions of dollars. The numbers that you're talking about, all reducing our deficit. But really, so there's two ways of looking at a tariff. You can do it as a money-making instrument, or you can do it as something to get the companies. Now, if you want the companies to come in, the tariff has to be a lot higher than 10%, because 10% is not enough. They're not going to do it for 10. But you make a 50% tariff, they're going to come in. Let me tell you the other thing about tariffs that's great. China thinks we're a stupid country, a very stupid country. They can't believe that somebody finally got wise to them. Not one president, Bush, Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, have you heard of him? Not one president, not think of it, not one president charged China anything. They said, oh, they are a third world nation. They're developing. Well, we're a developing nation, too. Take a look at Detroit. Take a look at our cities. We're a developing nation. We have to develop more than they do. We're way behind them. You take a look at what's happened to our cities. But our allies have taken advantage of us more so than our enemies.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
The USDA's latest farm income forecast for this year shows cash receipts down from 2023 for most every crop. Receipts for wheat projected 9% lower, soybeans down by almost 14.5%, corn sales dropping by over 22.5%. But the crop taking the biggest hit, cotton.
Cotton faring very poorly in terms of cash receipts,
which USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer says will plummet downward by almost 30%. Meyer says we started this year with projections that maybe this crop would bring 80 cents a pound.
And now we're down to 66 cents a pound, if I recall correctly, in the last WASDE. That's a heck of a decline. 80 cents was okay. It wasn't going to be a big moneymaker, but 66 cents is certainly not.
Meyer says it'll be interesting this spring to see how producers react in terms of planting. Gary Crawford, Washington.